Did y'all find the Green Shine cave that was just full of green shines?
Yes.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
Oh, I only found one. You really did put in your hours.
That's why I dove underwater, because I thought, well, shoot, you know, surely it's underwater, it's untouched. It would be this immaculate collection. No, one. And it's like the mid version too, which was, I was like, it sums everything up.
It was a cluster, not a slab.
It wasn't a slab.
What's going on, man? This is Ice Nigma.
Yeah, and this is T Nigma, and this is Enigmas Unchained. This is T Nigma with Enigmas Unchained, and we are back again for a very interesting episode about Horizon, the Forbidden West, and the power of friendship. And who I have with
me. can't even get through the intro.
All right, so who I have with me, one is a regular, one is new. So first off, the ordinary fellow, how you doing, brother?
I'm all right, man. You know, I'm up. Yeah. So
it's good to have you back on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And then I have a new Enigma added to the collection and the collective of Enigmas now. Timothy, how you doing, brother? How you doing, brother?
I'm okay.
All right. Microphone do right this time. All right. So we're going to break this down into three parts that will be helpful to contain this conversation, because we can go off the rails, and I do not have a problem with that, because I'm definitely okay with going off the rails for this one. We're going to talk about graphics first, okay? Story in the middle, because that's the, you know, I think that needs to stay in the middle, and then finally we'll talk about gameplay, so that what we kind of got like a good abysmal, and then okay. So we can, how we feel. But so graphically,
why don't you switch it up and make story last, so we're not just giving people spoilers ahead of time?
That is perfectly fine. So we'll do graphics, gameplay, and then story, because we really probably run through graphics and gameplay. Like, story is what we'll probably rest at for a while. So graphics, talk to me. I have a PS5. Timothy has a PS5. Ordinary fellow, you played on PS4, right?
I did, and then I played the last bit on PS5.
On PS5, okay. Yeah. So this is no shaming, okay? You just have to make sure that this is not a public shaming of the ordinary fellow. I was just asking. Just make sure, like, just so that way people understand the experiences. So graphically, how would you, what were things that stood out the most to you graphically that made this game unique on that particular perspective?
So for me, I mean, I played it on the PS5, and I have a 4K NVIDIA monitor, the Asus Predator. And I had to keep it in performance mode to get the frame rates. I mean, it's a gorgeous game, and it still looked really good. But I think what slowed it down at 4K, trying to get those frame rates, was the high def textures that they put in. I don't think anything was lost graphically without having those textures turned on and just getting the frame rates. But it did not seem like next gen type of foliage in a lot of places. I think if you compare it to Tomb Raider, the Shadow of Tomb Raider, the latest installment. I think they had slightly better greenery in their jungles and whatnot. I mean, it's a gorgeous game regardless. Clouds were fantastic.
Yeah, the sky was always beautiful in this game, like especially when it was snowing. When you went to the mountains, it was probably to me my favorite part of the game was going to the Tanakh clans in the what was the name of the joint? The
the wall.
The bulwark. Okay, yeah, like going to the bulwark and just see like wow, like just it was so gorgeous. In the snow. And even like, I don't know if you guys did this, but when you get to the very top of the mountain, you help the guy out before he came. I just hang glided the whole way down. just glided the whole way down. And I was like, wow. It was very beautiful. But I do have to agree with Tim on this as far as like certain parts of the game. I had to run the performance mode too. I have a Sony Bravia 4K TV, 120 hertz. You know, all the fixings, you know, all the good stuff. And it's still, you know, even when I put it in graphics mode, it was skipping and you turn to the left too fast. There'll be no leaves and you turn back and there leaves. It was a little interesting, but like performance mode, it ran smooth. It did what it was supposed to do. It felt better. Even when you're fighting, you know, there's a lot of motion blur when you're fighting. And that kind of weirded me out a bit because I'm like, huh? Because even the right to me at least, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, there wasn't as much blur playing Horizon Zero Dawn. You know, like when it came to like when she had to do hard turns, there was some blur, but this thing was like blurry to me. I was like, wow. Most of my time was spent like kind of in eagle eye mode, just slowing everything down and hitting it. And then when they had to speed up, I would do the roll or whatever, and I get back, but I would do my best not to move the camera too much because it almost looked like a full-on blur. I don't know what's going on. So, yeah, but that was, like, her suits in performance mode. Like, I just went picture mode and just zoomed into, like, the fabric on her clothes, and it was great. I mean, I was like, wow, skin texture, the paint even. Like, you could see, like, the scars on her arm when she had paint on her arm. And they're like little small minor scratches and scars and stuff you normally can't see with your own naked eye. That stuff was actually visible for me. And I was like, dang, that's pretty good attention to detail. So it's not a full bashing of the grad, because I think they did a very good job what they had. But it's still weirded me out that at the same time, the amount of power that they got that we still couldn't get a full graphics mode. So yeah. That was my take.
In my experience with it, because so I'm you know, I've played it both in PS4 and in PS5, and I've got a really tiny 1080p device. I've got a 32-inch, can't remember the name of the product, whatever. But it's it's like nobody's gonna rob me of that. I think that the advantage of it when I look at it compared to Horizon Zero Dawn was that it had a really great golden hour for the sunset. Like,
oh yeah,
they really, really upped the atmospheric elements for it. Dust storms and stuff like that. Like, I was really blown away by some of those aspects. So to me, especially because the PS5 really doesn't like my television at all, I had a much better experience with it at 1080p. Playing it that way, it looked smoother, like especially after the second patch, because the first patch her like Halo was trying to go Super Saiyan during her
was off the charts.
Well, especially during that long conversation with Sun King of Hog, her hair was going like what is it? It's a chick, the wind's not blowing, you're not moving your neck, like why is your hair going up like you about to try to go Super Saiyan 3? Like, what is happening right now? So that the weird, you know, Medusa tentacle stuff going on with her hair before the second patch was alarming. But in terms of like the visuals, I even like how they improve the visuals for just like even some of our classic foes before, you know, without even taking into consideration some of the newer dinosaurs or the newer antagonists. Like, I thought that I thought that Silence. I thought he looked better in this in this game design. His implants seemed a lot more prominent this time. Like they actually, they didn't seem like they were drawn on. Because in the first one, they seemed a little drawn on, but this one you could actually see the raisedness in it.
That is true.
The skin texture was superior in this game because like Aloy actually, I feel like Aloy looked in this game like she kind of should have looked in the first game.
Yeah,
she's sunburned. Her freckles aren't just like natural freckles from being a redhead. It's sunburn type freckles, and those really stood out. And I appreciated having those nuances and features. Also, this game did a lot better with black skin. There were more black
characters. Yeah, the people didn't look like they just came out grave. You know. They were gray. They were gray in Horizon Zero
Dawn. They were gray. They just looked a little ashy. You know what I'm saying? Looked a little weird. And like the lip textures weren't right.
It was weird, man. Like everybody smoked weed. Everybody came out the grave. That's how I looked in the first game. It was being like, Vaughn looked like he was like, hey, weed every day. Every time he popped in the room, I was like, dang, Vaughn, like you all right, bro? Black lips, gray lips. I'm like, wow. What type of guns have they gotten thousand years later?
So smoke, purple, drink liquor. That's how they had Varl looking the first time. But this time he had nuance. His dreads actually looked a lot better, looked more textured and everything like that. So I really liked the skin textures. I really liked and like I said, the environmental stuff. I can't think of many games, and I've played a lot of open world games over the years. I'm one of those old heads. It's like so you younger listeners, just don't mind me. When I start like, back in my day, you know, but like there's not a lot of games that I've played that when they have a sunset where it has a legitimate golden hour, and then also the moment that happens after the golden hour where it's like when the sun is just hitting the end and it's just irritating and you can't, it's so hard to take a decent photograph. You can't tell when there's more red than there is orange.
Yes,
and you just can't. And that's dangerous out there hunting robot dinosaurs.
That's normal when they attack you too.
I
remember being, well, we'll get to that.
It
was like four of them. And I'm like, where are they coming from? I just had to jump in the water. Like literally, I was like jumped in the water. I was like, get out of the way.
So sunset was literally the worst time to hunt robot dinosaurs. But at the same time, it was realistic in that sense because the sun could get in your eyes.
Yeah,
the sun could get in your eyes. And so I haven't seen many games actually take, when it came to atmospherics, take the effort into consideration, because the only time the sun would ever get in my eyes in any other game that I can think of that had a real-time environmental stuff is if you're looking directly into the sun.
Yes.
But for this to have the realistic thing, you can get glare that, you know, at the appropriate times of day, it was great. So I really enjoyed that graphic wise. I also, even though the swimming mode was useless, really, for the most part, I thought the underwater environments were also gorgeous. Pointless, but gorgeous. It was like a really, really great weave, you know? So, you know, the Brazilian, you know, like the wavy Brazilian 27-inch, you know what I'm saying? Like $300 hair. You can't, because it's real hair, so you can't. Yeah.
You gotta watch your language, because Brazilian means other stuff too. So,
fair enough.
Very true.
I was actually, you know,
copying. Like, who had the Brazilian? How did you tell in the game?
I was copying a hood chick, and she was saying that shit. she called it the Brazilian wavy 27-inch. No, you're absolutely right. But yes, so it was.
What are you doing with that photo mode, Julian?
Nothing but the purest of intentions, sir. Photo mode was actually, I was kind of disappointed in photo mode.
Same. It lacked depth.
It lacked depth.
Yeah, it was still good to have though.
It was still good to have.
But it lacked the depth that, you know, you see on a couple other games. Like you go just a regular Uncharted game and their photo mode is live.
Yeah. So the photo mode wasn't as good. The pictures weren't always as crisp in photo mode, which I didn't understand. I think they fixed it by the fourth patch, they didn't fix it by the fourth patch.
You had, so what I saw people doing, photographers doing, is like you get these beautiful pictures from Horizon. I'm like, how in the world did you do this in photo mode? So I'm like, yo, I'm not a slouch. I know how to work this thing, right? And the guy like fessed up. He said, I'm not going to lie to you. I took the picture on my PS5 and I put it into Adobe Lightroom. And I was, you traitor. You goddamn traitor. You traitor bastard. We knew it wasn't just like the photo. It wasn't just the photo. Like when you see these beautiful stellar pictures that they're popping up online right now, it's because they take them off the PS5, load them into Lightroom, scale it up to 4K, and they clean the blemishes.
I see.
They change the lighting and stuff like that, make it a little more sharper, and then they put the film picture on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or what like that for a photo mode picture that Sony then puts out and gives everybody hope so that they can get there. And then they're like, oh, yeah, but I didn't just use a photo mode. I put that through multiple programs. Like, he's a liar.
Which is disappointing because the Horizon Zero Dawn, especially by the time Frozen Wilds came out and it was a fully patched game, the photo mode on that was one of the best of its kind at the time. It was really, like, I still have wallpapers I saved that I made out of photos that I took. But I didn't make any wallpapers with this. So
I took plenty of pictures because there's a lot of memorable moments.
Yeah,
good and bad. But
so that was basically my take on the graphics. I felt like they excelled in certain areas, but then I felt like they sacrificed with trying to have a dual boot game. They sacrificed in areas they didn't need to sacrifice for.
Yeah.
In order to try to give you an overall aesthetic, the sound design was superior to this one. The sound like, I know that's not exactly, you know, talking about the graphics.
No, that's cool. I mean, like, so, you're gonna talk about it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like I can tell that they mixed it completely differently this time.
Yeah.
The mixing was different and they really did a good job of trying to sync the visuals with the sound to try to give you an immersive experience, especially if you have good sound with whatever you're experiencing with. And I also, something I didn't know as well is that one of the Henson brothers, one of the owners of Spitfire Audio, where they make all these digital orchestral kits and stuff like that for music producers. I didn't realize the Henson brothers were the ones that actually scored it this time. And so they're using stuff straight out of their own libraries to produce this stuff, which it made perfect sense in hindsight. So, and then I think they also, you know, they used the Dolby Atmos standard for and the technology to have that high level surround mix in there, and that was superior to the previous game. So as an audio visual experience, the visuals went down in certain areas, but way up in certain areas. And I think I preferred playing it on 1080p more than trying to stretch.
That's right. With
the PS5 and try to see it at a higher level. Cause I feel like a lot of the flaws that you guys mentioned were hidden in 1080p. They weren't as obvious and visible. And so then it just felt like, oh, I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn. So that was long-winded. Sorry about that, but that's my take on it.
Good. So how about gameplay? You go, Tim. You good.
I was just waiting for Julian to continue.
So I just want this man is my best friend.
That tire was coming. I'm just going to put you on the bus. So what you got? Like, what you think about the gameplay, brothers?
I thought it was a little less sharp, less tight than the Horizon Forbidden or Zero Dawn. I mean, I got to be honest, I played Zero Dawn on PC. And so, you know, it was patched up and fixed up for PC.
Yeah, you got a perfect version, brother. You got the, because when we played it in 2017.
For the most part, I enjoyed it, but there are parts I found frustrating, particularly combat with found that machines are like, they'll kind of teleport or rubber band to your location when they're attacking you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I jumped that out of the way for a reason. It's like, you know, the game doesn't have to put me right back in front of the machine. You know, like Julian said, the depth, the lack of depth of underwater gameplay.
You couldn't fight underwater. That just...
Well, I think it was used more as a plot device.
Yeah.
They added quite a few areas to explore, but they lacked depth compared to some of the other places. I thought the exploring was less shallow, Because in Zero Dawn, you could just stumble onto like old world ruins. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a lot more of them in the last game that you could just kind of stumble into. I mean, that's how I found a couple of the old world ruins, and just by stumbling into them without like having an icon on the map. But here, I thought they kind of handed quite a few things over to you on a platter. You know, because I had an exploration mode, but still it was like all the icons were there pointing mm-hmm. to the right place. And so granted, it was a bigger world, so you would have had to spend a lot more time, but I thought finding the ruins was less satisfying. They did add some depth to the combat between like humans. But I didn't feel like it was, you know, besides doing the fighting pits, you didn't really have to go that route, you know, except with Regala and the Enduring to get those accolades or milestones. And but overall, I mean, I put in over 100 hours in Zero Dawn or Forbidden West. So obviously had plenty of fun otherwise.
Yeah,
and the flying was really an interesting mechanic they added.
I enjoyed it.
More about that.
I enjoyed it, yo. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like that was my favorite part of the game. I was like, oh, so I can just be high and mighty the way that she acts. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself. I can actually just glide across everything. I was like, that's pretty good. I mean, I liked it. I liked the sunwing mechanic. I would just go up there and like literally just dominate every last one of them. I'm like, all right, look, all y'all fly with me. Let's go.
It was a lot more thought out than the swimming.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Because there was at least attacks that you can use with the sunwing, but underwater was trash in this game. I was like, wow. So I'm just gonna die nameless underwater. I'm gonna die nameless underwater. Dive in the water. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, she got a spear, she got multiple arrows that got more. I said they could probably make like some type of like, you know, projectile situation to help her do. None of that. No, you hide in the weeds. That's what you do,
and you have to chase fish to catch them.
You can't shoot. I mean, I tried the arrow. I was like, I was like, yeah, let me get you. I was like, why ain't there no fish floating? I'm like, I got you dead to rights.
Yeah, why is this not working? Human can swim fast enough to catch any kind of fish.
No. Well, Aloy is not a regular Shadow Trevor. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Yeah. But I would say gameplay was enjoyable. I do like the variations of the arrows. And my favorite weapon was the what's the name of the joint? It was the Discaster. You know, that one that just charged up. That was my favorite weapon in this game. I figured I got one that had like ice and light and like shock value. I didn't use any other weapon for the rest of the game. I was like, screw these bows, bro. I'm like, just sitting back, just letting the charge up. I'm like, come up off the hill. I got a surprise for you. And hit him with three of them. I'm like, let's go. I mean, but that was my favorite weapon like in the whole game. But outside of that, you know, like you were saying about the human combat was convoluted. It's like one big buff dude, Aloy knocked this sucker off with three hits. Then you get some small chick wrong, roll up on you, just yelling, and she's like a berserker or something. I don't know. And she, it takes her like 40 hits. I'm like, what the world is going on? Like she doesn't have armor on. She got no armor. The dude had full body armor, and I wrecked that dude. I just ran up on him and just busted him. And I was like, all right, cool. I can do that to the rest of these. No. That female in the tribe was apparently more experienced than everybody on the island. So she wrecked me. I was like, how's this possible? I mean, I had her melting with freaking acid arrows. Like all her stuff is melting. I'm like, yeah, I got her. Nope. Set bombs up. Didn't destroy. I said, it's either this chick is a cheat, like this is a design flaw, or I'm trash. I'm kind of siding with the latter. So yeah, but it was. I did enjoy the. I didn't like the mount aspect of this game. Like the ground mount. You know, I just thought that was lame. So this is. I forget the name of the thing. I don't even care.
Was right it now. A bighorn?
Yeah,
it was either a bighorn or
fanghorn or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, but like it was convoluted. I was because on the last one you could dominate some of the dopest things. You know, I was like, yo, let me dominate something like they got the juice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just roll up on a set and it's like everybody is dead that's supposed to die. Like, I didn't feel like that at all in this game. I felt like she was like overworked. She was like, you get what I give you. But it was like I said, gameplay was at least to me a little bit better than when it launched on the PS4. I was saying it earlier, like the screen blur part just bothered me. Like that was and I tried it in performance mode and graphics mode, set my TV up that to make sure that it was getting the highest frames and everything. And it still was just blurry. I was like, yo, come on, man. So that part set me back. I was like, it was still fun though. Like I said, I agree with Tim on that. It was still fun. I mean, I put 78 hours into it. So I enjoyed the mess. I was like, this is great. I like the gameplay, but it was just those glaring marks that stood out. The other part too that I really enjoyed, I think I said it before, was the glider. I love the glider. Wish there was more.
The glider or the mount?
Which one?
Because the Sunwing is a mount, but the glider is the.
Yeah, talking the glider, like the shield.
Oh, okay.
So did you guys ever just feel cheated that you couldn't use it as a shield?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel freaking cheated. That was going to be my first point.
Yeah, I was like, that cheat, I felt cheated that we couldn't just fix that and bring it back to its full glory, but we just had to go along and travel through three states and still never fixed the glider. I don't know who thought that was a great idea. I was like, at least let me fix this. Because you've seen it in full power. I was like, that'd been dope to have like a shield on a battlefield. But then like, if you hit it too much.
Especially with hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
And I mean, she defeated enough of those shield bearers that she could have gotten enough parts to make a full one.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it turned into a plot device. Julian said about the diving mechanism, and I think Tim also said it was worthless.
It's beautiful, but
it's worthless. It's worthless, man. I mean, like there was one spot, it was like a spring or something like that, right before you hit the Forbidden West. It was the first town you had to go in and kind of liberate. It was right in the mountainside over there. And they had a spot that when you dove through the cracks, you know, they had a spot like you can't dive this far yet, so you would just pretty much die because it's no way for you to get down there. So I was like, oh, I got my mask, let me go back. I went back. It was like one stone down there. I was like,
you're talking about the green shine stones.
That was it. I was like, huh?
Did y'all find the green shine cave that was just full of green shines?
Yes.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
Oh, I only found one. You really did put in your hours.
that's why I dove underwater because I thought, well, shoot, you know, surely it's underwater, it's untouched. It would be this immaculate collection. No, one. And it's like the mid version too, which was, I was like, it sums everything up.
It was a cluster, not a slab.
It wasn't a slab. I was like, man, come on, yo. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm not gonna keep talking. Go ahead, talk to
us. So to me, in my experience, when you're going from a one to a two, gameplay should evolve. You should be building on what you did previously. And in my opinion, the most successful, like taking player feedback And improving on that is going to be going from Assassin's Creed 1, which I don't even know why folks try to pretend that Assassin's Creed 1 never even existed anymore. Like, it was just
the worst game. I don't understand that.
They pretend like it's the worst game ever, that Assassin's
Creed. That's three.
Yeah. but they always try to start from Assassin's Creed 2 now. Like, they just completely ignore it. They completely ignore it. So I don't know why they do that. But I will say that Assassin's Creed 2 was so successful because it took all of the feedback from the very wonderful Assassin's Creed 1 and implemented it into, especially the game fighting mechanics and entering, adding that counter mode and stuff like that, being able to steal weapons from people. So that, to me, that's still really close to the top in terms of an example of going from one iteration to the next and building on what was already really working, that was already working very well and making it work incredible, like better than you imagined it did.
Yeah.
That did not happen with Horizon. Like, it didn't feel like a 2, it felt like a 1.5. And there was no way, really, especially if you're playing on a higher level of difficulty with Zero Dawn.
I was playing on the highest level of difficulty.
Yeah, so
the whole game. Yeah.
So with Zero Dawn at the highest level of difficulty, there's no way that you can survive, unless you're just like a pro level gamer. Mm-hmm. Where you're going to be able to make it all the way through the first game and its DLC without doing a lot of overriding of enemies on a regular basis. The overriding was like half the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you cleared that first cauldron and had the ability to start overriding those machines, that was a game changer.
Yeah.
And like you were saying about the mounts before, like having a variety of mounts that you could ride, not just one type. You had a variety.
Exactly. Yeah.
With this one, I almost never rode a mount.
I just bought
travel packs. I bought travel packs and just would fast travel to a different area because
Sunwing was the only thing I rode on. I was like, Sunwing, let's go. But
to be fair, there was three mounts in Zero Dawn and three plus the Sunwing in Forbidden West.
I couldn't even identify. I couldn't even tell you what the other mounts were. I just know.
So there was the Charger.
Charger. And a big horn. Big horns in this game?
No, there's no broad. No. They're Broadhead and Strider.
So I was like, I mean, I would normally just get the Charger because the Charger, to me, the Charger was faster. So
yeah,
I was just
the fastest thinking, one.
Yeah, it's fast. I was like, it was weak though. It was like two hits and it was dead. But like, it's very real. It rolled out of battle with you. And I'm like, yeah, I got my. You see parts flying everywhere. I'm like, oh, great.
especially when you're fighting the big snake thing. I can't remember what they call it. Like, those things would kill your mounts with the quickness. Yeah. Hated them things. So I felt like the traveling, or they should have just got, like, if the mounts weren't going to be useful, with the exception of the Sunwing, which comes way too late, way too late in the game, you know, spoiler alert, way too late in the game.
Flat device.
For it to be of any practical use, unless you're just talking like post-game hunting for stuff kind of thing like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
They took all the fun out of it by putting it at the point in the game that they did.
Yeah.
And it was really hard for me to get to. Maybe y'all found it easy, but I had to basically crawl around that entire mountain to get there. I did not have
to. The Sunwing?
Yeah, that first Sunwing. I did not ignore that.
I mean, I just used that real thing to get home. I was like, hit it, let's go. I was like, I wasn't trying to, I didn't even follow the path. You know, they show you like the path. I'm like, screw you.
Maybe that was not the, see, that's what happened. I tried to follow the path that it got, and it took me an hour, bro.
Nah, I was a rebel, man. I looked at that path, and I'm like, I'm gonna take the other way. I'll be fine. But most of the time it worked. Sometimes it failed terribly.
So it didn't feel like a 2 in terms of it didn't feel like a sequel in terms of like the gameplay. They cut back on areas where they didn't need to cut back on.
Yeah.
The only thing that was really redeeming to me about the gameplay in terms of like as a progression forward was the variety of robot dinosaurs you can hunt. The robot dinosaurs, the Tremor Tusk is an amazing robot dinosaur. It is a tough.
What's the name of the monkey? The gorilla?
Oh, I can't remember what's the name of the monkey? I can't remember.
The freaking gorilla one, man. I literally almost broke my
Clamberjaw.
Was it the Clamberjaw?
Clamberjaw.
Look here. I almost broke my controller. Every single time I had to fight that thing, I'm like, this sucker is impossible.
Especially if there's two or three of them.
Yeah.
Like Apex anything. Like especially the Apex Thunderjaws and stuff like that.
Man, oh man.
If you don't come in there fully strapped.
Yeah.
Like they were gonna
one arrow missing, you are dead.
You're gonna run in and get that work so quick. So I appreciated the hunt and the increase in difficulty of the hunt. I gotta say those Apex Fire Claws, especially if you're not in an area where you have like a high ground like Obi-Wan, so that you can
man.
Like if you didn't have a high ground when it came to like an Apex Fire Claw, you just might as well wrap that up and get
I will give them props for this part. they really did eliminate a lot of high ground in this game.
They did.
They made you like be you where they it. Were. So like I remember that, like especially at night, yep. You know, walking through the jungle at night in this game was a mistake. I was like, yeah, I'll just go through it. It's like the monkey robots, not the gorilla, but the monkey was the ones that just throw fire at you. That
and
just
all them, and all them cloaked, like the ones that snipe you, those cloaked.
Oh, the stealths. Yeah, I mean, like, so them, I had a beat on because, like, you know, like I had on headphones, so I could hear them moving around. So I'm like, all right, sucker, you over there, and then you just see his little blur pass by, and I'm like, gotcha. But them monkeys, it wouldn't have mattered. They attacking packs, like five of them, and they all throwing fireballs. So you like, I got to figure out a way to survive this. I mean, so I'm jumping in the water, like just staying in a stream of water, so I wouldn't burn up. You know, it's like gobbling down herbs. You know,
herbs and cooked food. I did buy a lot of cooked food.
I was knocking back more herbs than a weed smoker on April. I need to survive, but it was that. I mean, I will give them props for that. The high ground was gone for most of the game. Was
gone.
Yeah.
The thing, then probably the last thing I'll say, because you guys mentioned all the other really significant, I thought, gameplay things. The other really big drawback, which really just made the dinosaur hunting, you know, the center focus of it, was just like it, like I said before, it didn't feel like an evolution. It didn't really feel like an evolution at all. Like you had a lot of us, and then to make new weapons and to get new armor and to get new overrides, mm-hmm. like all the stuff that made the first game so exciting, like doing what you had to do to get the super armor, you know, the electronic armor, or when you finally were able to get those resonating arrows that you could use to blast off parts and stuff like that. The first game really rewarded you with weapons and armor. With this one, some of the best weapon stuff, the parts were so expensive and so difficult to acquire. And then the overrides, the hoops you had to jump through to get those overrides that you don't even end up using, you don't even really even need to use to get through the game. Because in the other game, like I said, override was essential unless you were just like a god level player that is, I'm just going to go in with no armor and a stick and I'm going to, you know, kill the final boss like that. There are pro players who can do that. And I'm not one of them. And so unless you were that kind of player, overriding was essential in the first game. There was no getting around it. And so, it's like, what did you do with the most precious elements of the game? You're gonna take the armor and the weapon. One, make them super hard to acquire. Two, super hard to maintain.
Yes.
And then you're gonna make the overrides just this ridiculous, expensive process to have to like. So I have to kill how many snapper moths in order to? Nah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I got them all, but like you said, it was worthless. I was like, the other thing that I was just throwing there too, did you feel that this game hand-holded you too much? You know,
too many icons.
Yeah, like too many icons. I thought Tim said that a little bit earlier, but also I think I should use my focus.
Oh yeah, she did.
I think I should use my focus.
She did say stuff like that. And then here's the worst part about that. This is the thing that pisses me off. So like when we were, you know, you climbing in, I can't remember that lady's, but she used to work for Ferrotech and she was the one that created the aqueducts in her office.
Yeah.
Aloy's telling you to, you know, I should use my focus to figure out the puzzle. The focus doesn't help you figure out that puzzle at all.
It doesn't do anything. It,
like that, the door with the code and stuff like that. It didn't help you with that.
You had to listen to the thing.
Yeah.
In order to figure out that puzzle. There was no other way to really do it. It was like
hey, kid.
Enlighten us, sir. I mean, it's like the only folk is like, let you listen. That was pretty much it. But as far as like any extra
because each description had a, it's a spoiler alert, in the room to get into the office of the lady that gives you the info for the Leviathan, I think.
Leviathan. Yep.
The flood control thing. There's like four trophies.
Yeah.
So each one in the name or in the description has some numbers, and so you got to combine those numbers into to get the code.
So you got to read it. And I did not find a meaningful, like, I could figure out the first two numbers and I could figure out the last two numbers, but the middle number, I was like, how?
I did the same thing you did, Tim. I used the focus to do that.
You're right. She did have to tell you that the trophies were in the wrong spots. But you had to put in the code wrong first.
Yep.
A lot. Yeah, I put it in a wrong spot.
be glad it's not a Final Fantasy game, because you know a mimic or something would have dropped from the sky on top of you and you had to fight it like 95 times. So yeah, I just thought that was very interesting. Like there was a lot of hand holding in this game to me. I was like, wow,
but not in helpful to me.
Yeah, not places. Helpful. You know,
like in all the places I really wanted you to hold my hand, you were like, no, son, son, you're old enough. You're old enough. You're a mature adult. You can figure this out. Like, I'm being audited. No, I need help.
It's a common complaint that people say Aloy talked to herself too much.
And she has friends, but she's talking to herself a lot.
Yes.
I think it would have been more interesting if she would be like, hey, Warl. And he'd be like, have you tried using the focus? Or what if you rearrange the trophies, right?
Easy. That's an easy script, man.
Yeah, I mean, that actually gets into my story bit about her character in this game in a way that they built her, because, so the gameplay is wrapped up, act right. Now, the
crew. What are your favorite robots to fight? Worst, favorite and worst.
Worst was a freaking gorilla. Well, whichever name it is. It was the one when you're on the coast of the Forbidden West, and you had to help this dude out. Because it's like that whole jacked up unrequited love situation going on that we used to like trying to find his.
I know,
spoiler alert. Like that story, you know. And I was like, all right, let's bust him. What I did not know was that in the neighboring forest there were two more of those gorillas. So while I'm busting this gorilla, the two other ones just kind of like pulled up, like just looked. And I saw the light. I saw the light just turn to me. I'm like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, them suckers charge across the water. And I'm like, oh no, it's three of them now. And the guy's like, come on, Aloy, let's get it. I'm like, bro, I'm out of here. I left him the first time. I was like, I'll let you in another hour or two. Let's just went away. But that was like my worst one. My favorite one will always be the Thunderjaw. I love fighting the Apex, whatever, give it to me. That's my favorite fight in the game. It's like, give me him and the elephant.
The Tremor Tusk.
Oh, freaking hard, but it's got so many weapons on it. Hey, I'm like, nah, give me that weapon, bro. give me that one too. I mean, it's like my main motivation is just I'm such a petty person in this game that I would carry a weapon off of a Thunderjaw into a spot where I knew that the people were at. I'm like, and come in there like Tony Montana, like, you know, say hello to my little friend and just hit him. Just do this right here. just tear everybody up. But yeah, like those two are my favorite. And that, I don't even want to remember the name of that gorilla. That doggone gorilla was my worst enemy in this goddamn game.
Go ahead.
One of my favorites is the invisible the panther. What do you call them?
The stealth. I forget the name of it. The one that like cloaked itself at night.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love fighting those to see, like, you could trick them. You could, you know, shoot up their, shoot an arrow at their proximity, little traps, and then it runs over to it. And then, it, like, bam, you can start, like, shoot off its little cloaking device.
Yeah.
And also the new one, the Dreadwing, that one was kind of fun.
One like a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that one, he hits you with a lot of status effects.
Mm.
And so yeah. that was a unique one.
Terrifying, but, too. I mean, like I was messed up the first time I seen another one. What is this? It's just hanging upside down, red eyes. I was like, I said, okay, well, clearly this is something hanging off the building that does not. And I scan it off. Oh, this sucker's a guy. I got to fight this thing. I'm like, do I have to fight this thing? And it just turned into a situation for me. I was like, I don't know if I want to fight this thing right now.
One of the first times I saw it in the wild, I tried to sneak up on it. And it did the radar thing. And it locked onto me. I thought that was a cool thing they did.
Doesn't it knock out your focus too?
Yeah,
it knocks out your focus. You like
so the kangaroos have that, and the Dreadwing.
I forgot about kangaroos.
If it's not near water, I don't fight a Dreadwing. Nope. It's just like, if it's not near water, I don't fight a Dreadwing. It's just as simple as that. If I can't get under the water to avoid its radar, to avoid, you know, the knocking the focus out, I don't fight it. I run. It's as simple as that.
I
learned that I can actually escape a Dreadwing with the Sunwing. You can't escape. Wow. You can't escape.
That's actually good to know. Didn't know that. Yeah.
So if it's not near water, like, because you know, like there's the one that's actually near the near the final fight place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't fight that one above ground. Are you crazy? I was in the lagoon the whole time, and I would wait for it to pulse back up and then send rockets over there. I would send rockets every time, like, you know, overdraw rockets, dive back in the water. That thing had a whole squad of watchers, like, you know, red eye watchers out there snitching too. Like, yeah, nah, they got rockets too.
The watchers were five times more annoying this game.
They
did their job in this game. Last game, I just knocked these suckers out real quick.
And then they could burrow because they couldn't burrow in the first game.
Yeah,
and then they can swim too. Like the watchers
hated were
so,
them things,
they were so they foul.
Hated. I mean, like, they could be destroyed easily.
They could.
But they still were very high on the annoy me list. I'd be like fighting something else, and like four of them suckers just pop up. What? Where did you come from? And they'd be ready. They're like, yeah. And they always do a sequence attack, which I thought was pretty dope in the game to do. They wherever you're shooting from, is they shot you behind.
Yes.
And then they would shoot you from the side, and then they shoot you from the front. And I was like, huh. So when I figured out the rhythm, you know, I roll, hit the guy behind me, hit the guy beside me, hit the guy that was originally in front of me, and then try and catch the enemy. But they had a whole sequence on how they tried to thwart you from, like, shooting arrows, because you would feel like you were shooting arrows because you were always in draw, but you never got to shoot it.
The least the least satisfying thing to fight in the game was actually what was one of the most satisfying things to fight in the previous game, which was the Stormbird.
The Stormbird.
It feels like they nerfed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really did. I couldn't understand that because it was so epic in the first game.
Oh man, it was great
game. And then on top of that, like, they had a territory so you could regularly encounter them. But they didn't feel as plentiful in this one. And then they were harder. They were way harder in this one. Like, they were just as strong as any of the apex creatures.
I didn't feel that way. I mean, I thought they were easier to fight. I mean, I just blow up their wings and then. And I had them crawling. I'm like, come over here, sucker. I mean, but it was a.
Wasn't there? I can't remember. You had to strip some parts off one of those things to get something.
Yeah.
And in Forbidden West, it was something I needed to build. Oh, yeah. Because I the Tanakh. Not the Harm Marshall. It might have been the Tanakh Vindicator armor. That's the armor I finished the game with. You had to have Stormbird stuff in order to complete the armor, and Stormbirds are dangerous and they're delicate.
Yeah.
Their parts are really delicate. The bird itself is tough, but the parts are really delicate. And so it's like, it's, you have, it's not even a 50-50 chance that you're going to get the parts you need when you kill those things. It's like 70-30. And so what ended up happening was, is that I basically had to revert to saves, because you know, once you kill that one, the Stormbird in San Francisco, it's gone. It don't come back. So I had to fight that thing three times, because the first time I killed it, I got the parts and I completed the armor. But then I had plenty of equipment left, and there's I can't remember what they call that that horrible T-Rex thing that's down there, that's next to it, that originally came out of a cauldron that one of the antagonists sticks on me. I can't remember what they call that thing, but it's like a horrible apex creature. And I went down there to go fight him, and he put that work on me. And when I respawned, I didn't have the parts anymore. I said, but wait, I upgraded the armor, and they took it
back.
Did
you save before, in between that time? I mean,
I can't remember. So I had to go back and fight the Stormbird again. And this time, even though I stripped the meat off that thing, nothing. I had no usable parts for the armor. So then I had to revert to a save and go fight it again.
Wow.
And then I lost. And then I had to get and so then finally I went back and I finally was able to beat it and get the parts. And so I didn't feel froggy and try to confront anyone after that. I just went straight back to base to my table and put it together. But I found that the Stormbird was just the least satisfying. They weren't enough of them. As they were in the first game. And then for what my purpose is, because I was trying to perfect the armor I was going to finish the game with, it just wasn't satisfying at all to kill them. It was just a lot of work and you didn't get anything back from it. So that was a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, my least favorite was the Ravager. I think they beefed it up.
Ravagers were menaces.
Yeah, they weren't as dangerous in Zero Dawn, I feel like. Mm-mm.
They were not that day. I mean, like, these things felt like they got juiced or something.
Yeah. They're relentless.
Yeah.
I'd rather take two clamber jaws than two Ravagers.
I don't know about that, but that's on my personal situation. Cause I'm not going to honor them. I could call them. It felt like the gorillas, you know what I'm saying? They were just disrespectful. You know, they didn't care about how they beat you. They just, I mean, like he had Aloy in the most contorted situations after the whoop. I was like, he hit the girl so hard in this game that her limp body skipped three times. And I was like, why did you have to do that, man? It was just so wrong. I was like, at least everything is just blow you over and you just fall over. No, not this sucker. He's hurling fireballs out of his chest. I'm like, I hate you. I hate you so much.
Yeah.
But the Ravager was well.
Well, the awesome thing I liked is that, like you said, they coordinate. If there's a group of them, they start to coordinate their attacks.
Yeah.
Right? So they're not like attacking in the unison. It's like one of them throws some fire, then the next one, and then the next one. But I thought they would. The AI really well predicted we are going to be.
Yeah.
I thought the machines were cheating a bit. Have you
played Elden Ring? Jennifer, have you played that? So it felt kind of like Elden Ring in a sense, you know, with Elden Ring, you know, you'll be out there just having your merry way. Then all of a sudden you see in the distance a dragon just running or flying towards your area. And you're like, oh, he's going to fly off my head. I'm like, that sucker's getting real close. And then all of a sudden, he's doing a power slide, like right towards you. You're like, "Oh my god!" And you only have a few seconds to react to that. That's how I felt, especially going to one of the bases. I forget, it was like right down the mountain of the bulwark, and there was the gorilla. I forget the name of the other joint, but it was like burrowers. The gorilla, there were chargers. It was like five, and the shell back, and them suckers were terrible. I mean, I was like, yo, you guys got the upgrade for this one. They were also like in my annoy list. I was like, and you hit that back, and they're like, we will explode. I'm like, what? They're like, we will explode on you. Don't worry. I'm like, this is not right. So I set them up in a trap where it was like 15 freaking beast. And then also the snap mall, all of them are in this one little area, literally just decimating me. So I like finally found a high ground mark, and I got the berserker, the corrupted arrows. And I just started, I hit a few corrupted arrows and let them go loose. And it turned into an all-out civil war for like 15 minutes. And the only thing standing was a goddamn gorilla. So I was sitting there like, you ain't dead yet? I was like, you ain't dead yet? I was just shooting with arrows. I was like, just die. He was like, I'll climb up there. I'm like, you can't do that. It climbed up there. I was like, God damn monkey. That thing terrified me. I'm like, you can't do. Oh my God, he's climbing, and he'll find a way to get like near your location. I'm like, if he can't get close enough, he do like that, like the gorilla poop situation with fireballs. He's like,
yep,
it's perfect aim. And I was like, well, huh? That four times trying to set that up.
One of the, like, my worst experience with the Amber Jaws, the monkeys, I was trying to get the sack webbing from a machine, and those bastards like jump on the machine and started stripping it after I took it down. I'm like, what? So at that point I had to engage, but man.
By that time then I took apart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I had that happen multiple times. I'm like, I have like this dang near perfect stealth assassination of this robot that I need the parts for. And you see these bastards just swarming. And I'm like, you scavenging punks. You know what I'm saying? So they're like, I hate you. I hate you with all my life. Like the area where you had to go on the what's the name of joints? The tall necks.
Oh yeah,
and it was one of the ones you had to like pull one of them back up or whatever, and there was a bunch of them suckers like pretty much just it was like a Ravager and a couple of things like out in the field. I was like, look, man, it shouldn't be this hard to get a tall neck to stand. But the underwater one was the easiest one. I was like, oh, just putting these things back in there. That was it. I thought it was going to be sharks or something. I was like, I ain't got nothing in this water. Like, it was just empty water. That was it. It was just boring old empty water. And I just popped it up again, stood up. And the hardest part was just getting on top of it. But the other two, when we had to help it stand up, I was like, man, forget this thing. It's dead to me. I don't care.
I hated that the third tall neck you encounter in the game is the last tall neck for you to unlock. And that it was a plot device. That pissed me off.
Which only one with the sun wing?
Yeah, that pissed me off.
I thought I could climb it on my own. I was like, oh, man, I can figure it out. I said, okay.
I climbed every mountain in that range.
Bro, I was gliding off stuff.
I got really close a couple of times, too.
I was gliding off stuff. I was like, yeah, I can get up here. And I touched the hem of his garment. I'm playing. I touched the edge of the top of the tall neck, and this is when I knew it was plot, because I normally all it takes is her just like
because the yellow rip is there on the edge.
Yes, so I touched that, right,
and she didn't grab it.
She just flew right by it. I was like, oh, yep. you dirty dirty bastards! I'm probably gonna have to come back to this like at like the end of Act 3, and lo and behold, end of Act 3. Yeah, we need a tall neck. I was like, you. I was like, so I wasted 3 hours of my life trying to figure out how to get on top of this tall neck.
I wasted too. I tell you, every single mountain around that thing, I climbed on.
Yeah. I mean, like, bro, I was hang gliding with the level of efficiency that I never knew I could get in a video game. I was like, I'm getting on top of this freaking tall neck. And when I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. It's around here somewhere, I can't find it. I literally did calculus, okay? You know, I'm a math guy. I actually timed how many steps it was in 1 minute and made an equation, just popped it into the equation to figure out what the time velocity would be for it to be at said point and how fast I had to move up the mountain to be where I need to be to hang glide And for it to come down, which is dope because the physics actually work in this game. So I was like, well, at least I know the physics work. but I timed it to where my point of velocity had reached its peak to where I could get on top of this thing. I said, I got it. Put the equation down. I'm like, let's go. And I'm like, all right, one, two, three. All right, cool. It's kind of jump, boom. And I'm like, all right, cool, we're ready. And literally, that's the one where I was like, yes. And it touched it, and it just
smells. I got so desperate that I went to the store and I packed up on supplies, bro. I cleared, because you know there's like ravagers, a bunch of ravagers down there.
Yeah.
And I cleared the whole field out, and I waited for a tornado. I waited for a tornado.
You know, this will make a very fun and comedic skit. This is just showing the many ways that you fail to get on top of it. And then for them to be like, oh yeah, here's a sunwing. Like,
I spent all my shards, and you know, and I waited for, because you know the tornadoes pop up in that game.
I waited
on a cliff for a tornado so I could get caught up in the tornado. And still couldn't get on that thing.
Yeah, it was trifling, man. I was like, whatever. So, all right, before we go, anything else? Before we go to the story, anything else?
The game mechanics, game mechanics were dope. You know, it had problems. It wasn't a good sequel set of game mechanics, but it was really fun to play. And there's no game Monster Hunter, Deer Hunter, none of those games to me are as fun to hunt things as a Horizon game.
I wish Monster Hunter World had extra bits, because I love the mess out of that game. But I wish they had extra mechanics for fights, because normally you're just getting folded in that game. you walk out there, you're like, yeah, I'm about to, and you see the cart, and just throwing your behind on the floor in the other room. They're like, just get your behind up and figure stuff out. I'm like, I was winning. Like, you got two more lives, bro.
The game was about the hunt. Sony was trying, if PlayStation was trying to put out a game that was going to give you an epic hunt experience so that you could hunt down in the most cruelty-free fashion, hunt down robot dinosaurs. It's a vegan it's a totally vegan experience. Like, they found a way to give you the manliest, most vegan experience to be a hunter with full pride and no conflict. No cruelty. There's no blood that was shed in the making of this hunting experience. It's great. It's a vegan experience. I love that bit. The best vegan hunting experience.
You did have to shoot a bunch of animals to.
You beat me to it, Tim. You beat me to it. Like, you need the rat bones, man.
You need the rat bones. But the dinosaurs themselves, vegan experience.
And turkey feathers. Well,
not according to Hephaestus. Hephaestus was heated.
Hephaestus was like, I'm gonna get all y'all.